Hi, we are Angie and Annalie, and this is Brain Basement, a podcast where two friends who used to do yoga together in a basement now chat about chaos and wellness. As moms, we understand chaos. As expats, we get what that chaos looks like when you take it overseas.
From Manila to San Jose, we share stories of living abroad and explore topics around mental and emotional well-being. This podcast is for expat moms who want to find wellness amidst the chaos of everyday life. Welcome to Brain Basement. We're so glad you're here. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Brain Basement. So glad to have you here. Today, Annalie and I are going to have another emotion visit us on the show. So we're interviewing, resilience. The emotion of resilience. So we're going to be talking about what that means to us living the foreign service life, especially as those of us need to be resilient as we transition from one thing to another. And before we start, a little check-in with mindfulness.
Hi, everyone. Yes. So as always, just no matter what you're doing, take a moment to notice your breath and maybe add some length in your exhale a little bit. So add some time to that exhale. And we'll just start there. Just looking at your breath, thinking about how you've been breathing for the last 5 minutes and adding some extra time to the inhale and the exhale. And if you're in a spot to close your eyes, go for it. Or if not, you can do this on the go as well. And just think about, as you elongate these, the inhale and the exhale, think about your body and just gather some awareness around your body in this moment. And think if there are any spots of tension or tightness or areas of your body that feel like they're carrying some additional stress. And as you lengthen your breath, maybe think about that spot in your body and think about sending your breath towards those areas that feel extra tight or that they're holding on to something. And if you have a hand available, you might want to try placing one of your hands on your chest, on your heart, while you continue to breathe. And just acknowledge yourself right now for taking out some time to check in with yourself, to check in with your breath and your body and checking in with your mind. And just realize that you've taken some time out for yourself, and that can be a really important gift that is always available to you and to all of us. Maybe take a few more deep inhalations and lengthen out that exhalation a little bit more at your own pace. And just enjoy the opportunity to change the breath in order to bring some additional awareness to yourself, and also to remind yourself that everything's okay in this moment. Or if it's not, then we have the capacity to ask ourselves what we need in this moment. What would be most helpful right now? And that we can look for those answers and be there for ourselves. And then when you're ready, you can kind of bring some additional awareness back to this conversation about resilience.
A talk with friends and incorporating a little more mindfulness into our life as we move around the world. So let's welcome resilience on the show and see what resilience means. We like to just kind of personify these emotions and see what we come up with.
Yeah. Hi, resilience. Welcome.
So I'm picturing resilience as like bouncy, like almost like Tigger from Winnie the Pooh. Like, do you see that? Like bounciness? Because for some reason, the word resilience to me brings up the idea of like springing back or being able to go down and then rise up somehow.
Yeah, I feel like I've totally judged resilience through the years. Like a part of me feels like resilience is so standoffish, and resilience feels more, it's like this person that's too perfect, like has everything in order. They don't need anything from anyone because they're so strong and just the type of person that muscles through it and gets the job done and just is kind of like not accessible. And so interesting that I have this idea of resilience because I think I have it totally backwards. But for whatever reason, at some point, I started resenting resilience. And maybe it's just because I've never really thought a ton about resilience, but I see programs all the time that are like, sign up for this program where you'll be, you know, you'll develop more emotional resilience, or let's teach our kids how to be more resilient. And I think it's just been like a foggy, fuzzy term to me. But as I've been thinking about it, I see that resilience has needs too. I just haven't really ever thought much about it. But resilience feels like it's wearing a red pantsuit and just is like self-sufficient and doesn't need anything from anyone.
Oh, wow. Are you picturing it like a power business woman?
I think so. Yeah. But then I looked up the definition and it has more to do with what you're saying, like this ability to be stretched. I pictured an elastic band, like stretched, but then it's able to come back to its original form. And so that was interesting to think about.
I wasn't picturing like the power suit at all. I had like more of a playful, like bouncy person in mind with like a turquoise, bubbly personality. But I think of resilience as like sometimes she would come over and be the friend that was like in total misery. And then sometimes the friend who was bouncy and bubbly. I guess I'm picturing resilience as two extremes, but your elastic, like that makes me think, your elastic reference makes me think of more like in its original form. I'm not really considering that. I'm only considering this two extremes of going through something hard and like devastating and then coming back to strong and active and engaged.
Yeah. Interesting. Yes. Well, and I was thinking like COVID, you know, immediately came to mind since it's just kind of at the ready grab. And I was thinking about resilience in the context of COVID. And how, you know, this specific hardship has stretched us and had, you know, forced us to face things that maybe we normally wouldn't face or sort through or struggle with. And I think, you know, when COVID is over or kind of a distant memory, what would bouncing back look like? And I thought, the analogy of the elastic band, I don't really see myself going back to that exact same form that I was before COVID. It's just maybe coming back to a strong mindset or a mindset of empowerment, like we can do hard things, but we're also changed because of this challenge that we just went through. And I guess anything can be plugged in there, you know, whether it's moving across, you know, the world, and having just like the challenges that are unique to that, uprooting the family and starting a new life somewhere. I've never returned back to that same person that I was before I moved, but I've definitely, you know, dipped down into the challenges of that, but also kind of risen again to a place where I can see that those challenges were helpful to us, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I'm noticing that, like what you said, like resilience to me automatically means that there was some challenge, there was some hardship there. Like I don't claim resilience when I haven't gone through a hardship, or I'm thinking of it in terms of challenges. So and I agree with you that, like, is that even a goal that we would want to return to that original shape? I think sometimes we do have that desire of like, I loved the person I was in, you know, when I was living in Bulgaria or something. And we just want to like hold on to that. And you can't be that same person. And you wouldn't, even if you had stayed in Bulgaria, right? As like Foreign Service community members, like we think of terms in this location, and we're probably defining periods of our life as that. But of course, we're not the same person that we were in 2019 as we are now in 2021. Even if we're living in the same location. So I think recognizing that we are, that through those challenges, there is some growth there. That's part of the message of resiliency.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum from where I'm coming from, that red pantsuit, like, you know, type A, get out of my way viewpoint. I was reading something by a writer named Ann Alexander on mindful.org. And she said, true resilience isn't about toughening up. It's about mental suppleness, flexibility, and raw vulnerability. So I was like, oh, that's completely opposite of what I was coming to resilience from, you know? Like this idea of being flexible. And then I thought, well, if this life is nothing but that, like a lesson on flexibility and learning to roll with the punches, because there are just some aspects of this life where you can't do anything about. And like one thing came to mind was our initial move overseas, you know, in this specific job. We go and these houses are furnished. And so there's furniture there for us. And I remember really pushing back on that. Like I, you know, had always had this dream of setting up my own home and bringing in my own items that made it really personal and bringing our personalities into our home. But then here I am, you know, in my first year of marriage, and I'm given a furnished home and I can't express myself in that way. And I was like pushing up against it. And it felt very rigid, like, but over time, I've come to just embrace that and even love it, because I have young kids and they're all over whatever furniture we have, and just be grateful for it too. Like something in my life I don't have to worry about. I just come and open my suitcase and start living. And what a nice thing that is. But I guess that's what came to mind when I was thinking about resilience being flexible and just, I think there are certain things in this lifestyle that have taught me how to be more flexible in my thinking around things. And that's kind of a very surfacey example, but.
No, I think that's a solid example of, the process that we go through, right? It's something you look at as a challenge and you can just resist it and not change. And you could have decided for the next 20 years, I'm going to like really be irritated that I have a, furnished home all the time. That could have stayed your desire, that I just want to create my own home. Why is that so, bad for me? But it's something that was a challenge. And instead of resisting it, you came to this point of appreciating it, like not just being okay, like fine, I can deal with this, but I'm really glad that I don't have to pay for all of this and move it around and worry about my linen, seat covers at the time. I think maybe resilience has that like stereotype of being too positive. We might think of it, or it is for me, but I do think it's recognizing that we all face challenges. Like I just listened to a talk on resilience, a really fantastic talk, because I knew we were going to discuss this, about a woman who lost her sister, was killed in a fatal car accident when she was very young. And she talked about the process of, feeling like her life had been taken from her and this was going to change the path of her life forever. And of course, being in a state of misery, as you would for anyone who had this happen to them, and being able to spend time in that upset and pain and devastation, and then to also get to the point later where you have the choice of how you want to live your life and what you want to make this mean, and her deciding that she wanted to take her sister's energy and work in the world, and her message of being active and involved in life, and that she wanted to carry that out in her own life and to be someone who spreads love in the world. And she's now a speaker. So that was really some insight for me on the real opportunity that resilience gives us, right? When we're in that moment of hardship, recognizing that you can process those emotions, and not being too positive and going automatically to like, this is hard, get me out of this, I want to be happy all the time, but not getting stuck there, going back to that rubber band like analogy that you had, instead of remaining in the difficulty and the hard part, it's that expansion of changing into the next thing after you've processed that emotion.
Yeah, I really like that. And I think that is some of what I was pushing up against, was this idea that it's like this positive toxicity path. Like we just positive think our way out of what's actually going on. But I totally see that it doesn't mean that. It's not discounting the hard thing. It's like taking the hard thing and kind of using it to propel us forward, like you said, instead of just being stuck all the time, which, I feel like being stuck is totally normal, but at some point that, movement seems to have to happen. And what comes to mind too is the idea of like a growth mindset, and how that's taught in different places, different ways. And I was going through my kids' school materials the other day, and the school counselor had sent the kids a packet that, the front page was like having a growth mindset, and it had a picture of a brain. And then each page was like a coloring page with a growth mindset affirmation on it. And one of them said,
instead of saying, I can't do this, you know, maybe a different way of framing it is, I can't do this yet. And, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, oh, that's just like positive thinking your way out of it. But no, I think it's just making, just becoming a little bit more loose and flexible and limber around these hardships or things that we don't know how to do yet or things we haven't handled before. It doesn't mean that all is lost. It's just like, there's another way to think about it. I'm a learner. This is the first time I've ever done this. So how could I ever be, you know, a pro or an expert at this? And that makes sense to me, that that's a very resilient perspective to have on challenges. And I mean, I definitely want, I would love for my kids to, you know, have some bits of that in their life.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I mean, resilience is maybe a little bit of a buzzword now. Like, I don't remember hearing about resilience when I was a kid, right? But we might have grown up in a culture that's like, get over it. You know, yeah, you're the new kid at school, but everybody goes through that once in their life, just deal with it, or, you know, whatever we were told. I don't think people were using the word resilience, and now saying, I haven't learned this yet, it's much more accepting to then telling ourselves, like, why haven't I learned this? And I can't do this. Those kinds of messages that we might automatically go to. And now I'm picturing, going back to our guest's resilience, I'm picturing your power suit woman, but with like a broken heel and her hair is all disheveled, right? Like sometimes she walks in the door and she's like falling apart, a mess, right? And you have to be there for her then, right? Like we wouldn't say, get over it. Like, so what? You had to go through this, like we would just let her like cry and sob, you know, and be a mess for a while. And then hopefully at some point she would get to that point of feeling like, okay, I think I felt bad long enough. I'm ready to move to something else now, or I think I want to try something new. And so it's that, and then she goes back into the power mode.
Yeah. But she's willing to be vulnerable every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the power mode is exhausting to me, honestly, at this stage in my life. And hopefully it always will be, because I think I want to always be, yeah, willing to be vulnerable and be that person. But it certainly feels good to have those times of life where you do feel like you've got your stuff together.
I think the power suit can be valuable sometimes, right? Like for a day, if I'm like, I'm just going to fake it, like I'm okay right now to get through this. I can do that maybe for a day or a few hours or one event or one, you know, meeting with someone and that I'm not really feeling it, but I can't put on that power suit for very long. Like, I can't ignore those real feelings for very long. And if I try to, it's just not helpful. I can like rationalize it in my head that I'm just not going to deal with this, but like I'll feel better once we move or once my kids' applications are in for the school, or, you know, I'm waiting for something to happen before I'm going to feel better. And then it's okay for me to just remember I don't have it all together right now. I'm kind of flailing and I don't know how it's all going to come together, and just be in that for a while and recognize I don't have it all together yet, like your teacher's mm-hmm. assignment.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because I think of that small word yet, and what other just nuance, teeny little, you know, 1 to 2 word phrases can we add into our thinking, or even into an expression that's verbal, that helps us to have more of that resilient and growth mindset. And, oh, I was I heard one a few years ago that was, it was acknowledging something hard, like I am feeling really overwhelmed right now, and that's okay. And the idea of just adding that last part to whatever the statement is, whatever the thought is, and that's okay. It acknowledging the hardship, but normalizing it at the same time for myself. I don't know. Does that ring a bell for you?
Yes, that's such a good one. That's so powerful. And that's okay. I think you have mentioned that to me before. And it is so useful. And it seems weird. Like, why would these tiny phrases have any impact on our life? But when you give yourself the time to be mindful and hear what you're telling yourself, I'm thinking of in the opposite direction that doesn't increase our positivity about ourselves. We use the word just sometimes, or I do. And I say, I'm just good at this, or I'm just, and it's so small, but it's like I'm negating what I'm good at by including that word. And of course, the words don't matter as much. It's just that idea of the feeling behind it is where saying I can't do this is so limiting to us. It's just not helpful for us to walk around thinking that every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, and where do you think the line is between kind of adding these little nuanced phrases into our thoughts and statements, the line between that and overly positive thinking, where you are starting to negate the challenge? You know what I mean? Like positive affirmations versus positive toxicity.
Right. I mean, that's hard too, because I do talk to people sometimes that are like, but that's not realistic, or that's not reality. And it is, I mean, it's so funny how, for me, this happens a lot with my teenagers. Like, one thing can happen and we just see it so differently, how one person's mind is like, this is fantastic. I am so excited that this thing happened. And it's the same thing that happened, and the other sibling is like, this is terrible. I can't believe this happened, right? Or even with the pandemic right now, right? There are people that are like, my kid is learning really well online. I had no idea this would work so well for them, and we spend more time together. And then there are people just saying, like, this is damaging our family in every possible way. It's hurting our relationships, and it's hurting our ability to look at the future. You know, it's really damaging our mental health. So it really does come down to that personal way of what we're thinking about something is part of who we are, mm-hmm. and is how we are reacting to that. And not that anyone's right or wrong, but just noticing, mm-hmm. wow, this thing that's happening is really upsetting to me. It's not maybe upsetting to everyone, or I can't assume that it's upsetting to everyone in my household, but I want to recognize that I'm truly upset by this. And then once you just know where you're at, instead of judging, like, if everyone else is handling this so well, why can't I? That's, does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it really does. And like you said, however you respond to that awareness, that thing that you're noticing about yourself, it essentially just has to be believable for you, mm-hmm. you know, whether that's a positive affirmation, or maybe it's, you know, maybe it's not changing the way you think about it, but just recognizing that that's where you're at. I think even that is resilience, because it's acting out of a place of awareness versus unconsciousness. And to me, that feels resilient. Like, I'm willing to take a look at the hard thing that's happening right now.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it's not easy, right? We don't want to admit, like, wow, this is hard, and I'm miserable, and I might stay that way for a while. But I think also it is it's not positive, like I'm changing my life, but it is a positive value to just be aware of your emotions and maybe say, I think I deserve to feel pretty upset by this. I deserve to feel hurt. Like this feels painful and I'm allowed to feel upset. And, you know, and then I can also decide that I want to change it, or I don't want to change it, or I'm going to figure out, you know, X, Y, and Z for how I want to deal with it. Not that you just stay stuck like that, like, well, if I'm going to feel like this forever, but yeah, recognizing that you do, I think that itself is positive, not that it's positive as choosing, like, I can be happy right in this moment, every single moment, all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I remember talking to a life coach about this. I think it's on our episode with Jenny Linton, how she kind of distinguishes between emotions that I think she calls them clean emotions versus emotions of indulgence. And you've talked about this too, where there's a certain point where we cross the line of moving into emotions where we really are stuck, and how, where's the bright line there? Mm-hmm. And like you said, not to say that anyone, you know, needs to hustle out of any one of these emotions, but to know that if my sadness has now moved into resentment, resentment feels totally worse than sadness to me.
Right.
Because it feels like someone owes me something and I'm not getting that, versus sadness is like, I'm just sad, you know, and that feels very normal, but I don't want to carry resentment around. I think it's too heavy for me, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe I do just unconsciously anyway, but I think that's an interesting thing to insert here, where we're talking about the buffet of like emotions and knowing what that term stuck means.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's exactly it. And like, and we just compound the sadness by adding on the resentment, you know, and then we add on like guilt, because we're like, I shouldn't feel so sad all the time. Like, you already have sadness. We don't need to add on guilt. So it's just looking at that stuff. If you feel sad and you're like, yeah, that's okay, I feel sad, this is upsetting to me, then there's not, the guilt isn't there. You're not feeling guilty for feeling sad. And which goes back to resilience. It's not that original shape of just getting back to that point. It's that growth and understanding of, we are those rubber bands that are expanding and contracting. And like, we're that like loose old rubber band that has, like, it's not returning to its original shape.
Yeah, letting that rubber band look as stretched out as it needs to look.
Right, like that worn out t-shirt that like doesn't hold its shape anymore, and the collar is just like sagging around your, you're like, I still love this t-shirt, it's just for pajamas.
Totally. I know. So now I'm thinking of resilience in the context of vulnerability and just getting curious about that, you know, and being willing to take that look at the hard stuff and just coming up with an answer, or just looking at it and being okay with that for a while.
Yeah. From now on, next time I have a big like hurdle thrown in my way, I'm just going to picture resilience walking in the door with the broken heel and the messed up hair and just being like, okay, resilience, welcome. This is our low point.
Totally.
At some point there will be a higher point than this.
Yeah.
I guess that's a good spot to close on. Do you have anything else?
I don't think so. I mean, it's been a good kind of intro to me on resilience, because I, like I said, I've been keeping her at an arm's length.
You had all that judgment for resilience.
Yeah, she just, I think you nailed it. She feels a little bit trendy right now. So I'm kind of not wanting to fall for the fad, you know, but I think she has a lot of good qualities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, underneath layers.
Very, very applicable to our lifestyle.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everyone. See you next week.